Americans with chronic incurable diseases generally get adequate medical care. But if they need help in the simpler things, such as walking or eating or getting dressed, they often have to turn to family members. That can be an overwhelming responsibility. So more and more people are trying a homegrown solution. They're sharing the chores of caregiving among a wide circle of friends. NPR's Richard Knox has been following one of these caregiving circles in Sandwich, New Hampshire.
Phil Simmons, who's 44, says he's living an imperfect life, but he says it contains many blessings. One is simply having dinner at home with his kids and a friend.
We thank God for the food before us. We're thankful for the loving hands that have prepared it. Amen.
Amen.
I need a knife.
Phil's wife, Catherine, an artist, is teaching a class tonight, and Phil can't cook. In fact, he can't walk or even use his arms because he's got ALS, or Lou Gehrig's disease. So tonight, his friend Derek Marshall brought dinner. Derek's here several times a week.
I do what is required. That usually means helping Phil with whatever needs to be helped in the office because he can't handle papers and things like that. So I help him eat a meal, put food into his mouth, help him get dressed to go outside.
Derek's an old friend of Phil's. They both have strong ties to Sandwich, this picture book town of about 1,100 people in New Hampshire's Lake District. Phil and Derek used to party together, and they work in a local arts group. But when Derek comes to Phil's house these days, it's mostly about taking care of Phil.
I have no ambitions or thoughts about where I could be or what I should be doing, what I'd like to do. I just simply become an extension of Phil.
Derek's not the only one. Several dozen people act as Phil's arms and legs. He can't do the things he used to love, hiking the White Mountains, swimming in Squam Lake, or playing folk guitar. But Phil's friends give him some control over his life, even though he's lost control over his body. Phil might be in a nursing home by now without this highly organized care group. Or his wife might have had to quit work and become a full-time caregiver. Most mornings, you'll find Phil Simmons alone at work in his study. But it takes four or five people to get him through his day. Only one is a professional. A nurse or personal care attendant comes in early in the morning to bathe him, get him dressed, and do physical therapy. A few hours later, Phil's at work in his electric wheelchair. He's thin with a neatly trimmed beard and eyes that don't miss a thing. Phil can't type, so he talks into a voice-activated computer.
Hello, comma, Kristen, exclamation point, new line.
Phil was a college English professor before ALS struck 9 years ago. He can't teach anymore, but a constant stream of emails and essays pours from his computer. In the past year, he's written one book and is at work on a second. He delivers lectures and sermons. His message is accepting whatever life dishes out. But every day he struggles against what's happening to him. ALS is slowly killing off the nerves that control his muscles.
So the muscles waste away, but the mind remains intact. It's been said that people with this illness have a front row seat at their own demise.
Phil and his wife Catherine managed more or less on their own for more than 6 years after his diagnosis, but as he got worse, the family began to feel overwhelmed.
And at some point, the situation was broken and needed to be fixed, and asking our friends to help was the practical solution.
What they wanted was their own little unpaid social service agency. Catherine felt uncomfortable about asking for so much, but Phil has what he describes as a healthy ego.
I'm worth it, you know? It can be very difficult to ask for help, and people need to know that they are worth it, that we're all worth it.
So, a couple of years ago, Phil and Catherine invited friends and neighbors to their home a few miles from the town center. They talked about the kinds of help they needed. Their friends talked about what they could offer. That was the birth of what they call FOPAC, Friends of Phil and Catherine. The group was inspired by a book called Share the Care. It's a how-to guide for those who want to care for friends with disabling health problems. It was written by two New York City women who formed a group to care for a friend dying of cancer. In the 5 years since it was published, Share the Care has inspired hundreds of care groups around the country. Phil's group spreads the burden of caregiving among almost 40 people. It's a highly organized effort. Some help when they can, others show up like clockwork.
Anybody home? Hello?
It's early afternoon at Phil's house, and his friend Tom Teal is right on schedule. He meets Phil in the front hall to get him ready for what he still calls his walk. It's really a wheelchair ride down his long dirt driveway. Without Tom and the rest of the care group, Phil wouldn't get out of the house much.
We're part of something that is enabling a situation like this to be as good as it can be.
Group members like being able to help Phil and his family, but that doesn't entirely explain why people volunteer. This is a community that values its members. And Tom says Phil's family is especially well-loved. Phil for his sermons and essays and community work. Catherine for her sculpture and watercolors.
Their family has touched the lives of dozens, if not more, people here in this village. It is a meaningful part of life for the kids, for everybody. And that just wouldn't happen. You'd have a frustrated family, and the person would almost surely die sooner and certainly not have a productive phase of life like is happening here.
Okay, foot rests. Maybe I will put those booties up.
Tom helps Phil into his boots, hat, and coat. He opens the door and sends Phil and his mixed-breed dog, Sarah, out into the chilly afternoon.
All set?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, Sarah. There is a world, and I am in it.
Tom and the other FOPAC caregivers also allow Phil's wife, Catherine Field, to keep working. While Phil's on his outing, Catherine's in her studio next to the house. Catherine's kept busy with commissioned works in bronze and steel. This afternoon, she's starting the model for a project. It begins with huge brown bricks of wax.
And I drop them on the floor to break them.
Catherine spends a lot of time caring for Phil. But they also have children, Amelia, who's 10, and Aaron, a 12-year-old. And now that Phil can't teach, Catherine's the family's main source of income. It's a lot of pressure.
And I couldn't keep my sanity if I didn't have FOPAC. And I think anyone living with this illness, with two young children, without the kind of help that we have, unless you're extremely wealthy, you would be feeling crushed.
But Catherine says the benefits of the care group go deeper.
What FOPAC does is allows us to maintain a marriage and lets me step back into the partner role rather than always being the nurse, because the burnout is pretty intense when I'm just the nurse and he's the patient. He doesn't like being the patient with me being the nurse, and that's our least favorite time together.
FOPAC gives them some relief from those roles. The group makes it possible for this family to maintain something close to an ordinary life. Of course, it helps that Phil and Catherine have been able to buy a fancy wheelchair and a special van to drive Phil around. They've built a house with ramps and a custom shower you can roll into. And unlike many Americans, they have health insurance. But health insurance doesn't pay for someone to feed Phil or help him drink or go to the bathroom. Someone has to be here nearly all the time.
Thanks, Tom.
See ya.
It's now past 3. Phil has had his walk, and Tom's shift is over. Phil Simmons isn't the only one in Sandwich who's inspired a care group. People set up something like it for an elderly woman with Parkinson's disease. But even in a close-knit town like this, there are limits to people's willingness to help. When another woman needed a care group, there just weren't enough volunteers. Phil understands not everyone's as lucky as he is.
I know the painful truth that there are many people out there who are suffering and in need, who are isolated and don't have this kind of support.
There may never be enough care groups to help everyone in need, but Phil hopes more people will realize what's possible.
To see a group like this working as well as it does, and to see a community as healthy as this one is, I would hope would cause people to reflect on the possibilities that are there in their own communities, because this can be done. Community is possible. Relationship is possible. It's up to us to create it.
Hello!
Hello!
Hi, Dad.
What's for dinner?
Ooh, good stuff. Good stuff from the Bullards, Ben and Betty.
Oh, good.
Yeah, I think you'll like
it. It's dinner time. Derek Marshall is here with some chicken and stir-fried vegetables. He heats it up while the kids set the table. Derek joins Phil and the kids for dinner. Then he stays until it's time to put Phil to bed. That's getting more difficult as Phil gets weaker. He's already lived longer than most ALS patients. In the months ahead, Phil will find it harder to swallow and breathe. Eventually, he'll lose his ability to speak. Derek says members of the group don't know how they'll cope because no one's done this before.
We'll figure it out as we go along. We can't really anticipate everything, and we assume that somehow we'll be adaptable. I don't mean to say that it won't be hard, but I don't think it's going to come to the point where people say, I can't do it anymore. You know, we have strengths perhaps that we haven't tapped into yet.
It's 9:30. Derek and the kids have washed the dishes. Phil is fading.
Okay. Time for bed.
Phil slowly turns his chair away from the kitchen and heads off toward his bedroom. Derek will follow, ready to perform the evening routine.
Get him undressed for bed, brush his teeth, tuck him in, say goodnight, and turn out the lights and leave.
Tomorrow, other friends will arrive to help Phil make the most of another day. Richard Knox, NPR News, Sandwich, New Hampshire.
For more information on Share the Care groups and Phil Simmons' book, Learning to Fall, check out NPR's website, npr.org.